Chapter 13. The Netherlands and Scandinavia. In the Netherlands, the papal tyranny very early called forth protest. 700 years before Luther, the Roman pontiff was fearlessly impeached by two bishops, who, having been sent on an embassy to Rome, had learned the true character of the Holy See. You set up yourself in the temple of God. Instead of pastor, you are become a wolf to the sheep. Whereas you ought to be a servant of servants, as you call yourself, you endeavor to become a lord of lords. You bring the commands of God into contempt. Others arose from century to echo this protest. The Waldensian Bible they translated in verse into the Dutch language. They declared that there was great advantage in it. No jests, no fables, no trifles, no deceits, but the words of truth. Thus wrote the friends of the ancient faith in the 12th century. Now began the Romish persecutions, but the believers continued to multiply, declaring that the Bible is the only infallible authority in religion, and that no man should be coerced to believe, but should be won by preaching. The teachings of Luther found in the Netherlands earnest and faithful men to preach the gospel. Menno Simons, educated a Roman Catholic and ordained to the priesthood, was wholly ignorant of the Bible and would not read it for fear of heresy. In dissipation, he endeavored to silence the voice of conscience, but without avail. After a time, he was led to the study of the New Testament. This, with Luther's writings, caused him to accept the Reformed faith. He soon after witnessed a man put to death for having been rebaptized. This led him to study the Bible in regard to infant baptism. He saw that repentance and faith are required as the condition of baptism. Menno withdrew from the Roman Church and devoted his life to teaching the truths which he had received. In both Germany and the Netherlands, a class of fanatics had risen, outraging order and decency, and proceeding to insurrection. Menno strenuously opposed the erroneous teachings and wild schemes of the fanatics. For 25 years he traversed the Netherlands and northern Germany, exerting a widespread influence, exemplifying in his own life the precepts which he taught. He was a man of integrity, humble and gentle, sincere and earnest. Great numbers were converted under his labors. In Germany, Charles V had banned the Reformation, but the princes stood as a barrier against his tyranny. In the Netherlands, his power was greater. Persecuting edicts followed in quick succession. To read the Bible, to hear or preach it, to pray to God in secret, to refrain from bowing to an image, to sing a psalm, was punishable with death. Thousands perished under Charles and Philip II. At one time, a whole family was brought before the inquisitors, charged with remaining away from Mass and worshipping at home. The youngest son answered, "We fall on our knees and pray that God may enlighten our minds and pardon our sins. We pray for our sovereign, that his reign may be prosperous and his life happy. We pray for our magistrates, that God may preserve them." The father and one of his sons were condemned to the stake. Not only men, but women and maidens displayed unflinching courage. Wives would take their stand by their husband's stake, and while he was enduring the fire, they would whisper words of solace or sing psalms to cheer him. Young maidens would lie down in their living grave, as if they were entering into their chamber of nightly sleep, or go forth to the scaffold and the fire, dressed in their best apparel, as if they were going to their marriage. Persecution increased the number of witnesses for truth. Year after year, the monarch urged on his cruel work, but in vain. William of Orange at last brought to Holland freedom to worship God. Reformation in Denmark. In the countries of the north, the gospel found a peaceful entrance. Students at Wittenberg, returning home, carried the Reformed faith to Scandinavia. Luther's writings also spread the light. the hardy people of the north turned from the corruption and superstitions of Rome to welcome the life-giving truths of the Bible. Tausen, the reformer of Denmark, as a boy, early gave evidence of vigorous intellect and entered a cloister. Examination showed him to possess talent that promised good service to the church. The young student was granted permission to choose a university of Germany or the Netherlands for himself, with one proviso: he must not go to Wittenberg to be endangered by heresy. So said the friars. Tausen went to Cologne, one of the strongholds of Romanism. Here he soon became disgusted. About the same time, he read Luther's writings with delight and greatly desired to enjoy the personal instruction of the reformer. But to do so, he must risk forfeiting his superior support. His decision was soon made, and ere long, he was a student at Wittenberg. On returning to Denmark, he did not reveal his secret, but endeavored to lead his companions to a purer faith. He opened the Bible and preached Christ to them as the sinner's only hope of salvation. Great was the wrath of the prior, who had built high hopes on him as a defender of Rome. He was at once removed from his own monastery to another and confined to his cell. Through the bars of his cell, Tausen communicated to his companions a knowledge of the truth. Had those Danish fathers been skilled in the church's plan of dealing with heresy, Tausen's voice would never again have been heard. But instead of consigning him to some underground dungeon, they expelled him from the monastery. A royal edict, just issued, offered protection to the teachers of the new doctrine. The churches were opened to him, and the people thronged to listen. The New Testament in Danish was widely circulated. Efforts to overthrow the work resulted in extending it, and ere long, Denmark declared its acceptance of the Reformed faith. Progress in Sweden. In Sweden also, young men from Wittenberg carried the water of life to their countrymen. Two leaders in the Swedish Reformation, Olaf and Laurentius Petri, studied under Luther and Melanchthon. Like the great reformer, Olaf aroused the people by his eloquence, while Laurentius, like Melanchthon, was thoughtful and calm. Both were of unflinching courage. The Catholic priests stirred up the ignorant and superstitious people. Upon several occasions, Olaf Petri barely escaped with his life. These reformers were, however, protected by the king, who determined upon a reformation and welcomed these able assistants in the battle against Rome. In the presence of the monarch and leading men of Sweden, Olaf Petri, with great ability, defended the Reformed faith. He declared that the teachings of the fathers are to be received only when in accord with Scripture, that the essential doctrines of the faith are presented in the Bible in a clear manner, so that all may understand them. This contest serves to show us the sort of men that formed the rank and file of the army of the Reformers. They were not illiterate, sectarian, noisy controversialists. Far from it. They were men who had studied the Word of God and knew well how to wield the weapons with which the armory of the Bible supplied them. They were scholars and theologians, men who have thoroughly mastered the whole system of gospel truth and who win an easy victory over the sophists of the schools and the dignitaries of Rome. The King of Sweden accepted the Protestant faith, and the National Assembly declared in its favor. At the desire of the king, the two brothers undertook the translation of the whole Bible. It was ordered by the Diet that throughout the kingdom, ministers should explain the scriptures, and that the children in the schools should be taught to read the Bible. Freed from Romish oppression, the nation attained to a strength and greatness it had never before reached. A century later, this hitherto feeble nation, the only one in Europe that dared lend a helping hand, came to the deliverance of Germany in the terrible struggle of the 30 Years' War. All northern Europe seemed about to be brought again under the tyranny of Rome. The armies of Sweden enabled Germany to win toleration for Protestants and to restore liberty of conscience to those countries that had accepted the Reformation.